You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
So let's get into God's Word this morning. We're starting a new series called I Am Chosen. If you'll turn in the book in your scripture to Acts chapter 6, we are teaching through the book of Acts scripture by scripture throughout. We want to look at the early church, and I believe that this next series is so important. It is called I Am. We want to look at what you are called, the identity of who we are as believers, to say, listen, I am. What am I as a believer? Speaking identity. And I love what Pastor Jason said, because the first century church, they gave of themselves first. And I love that perspective, because what we're talking about is giving of ourselves to see the kingdom and the mission accomplished. We begin in this new series, Acts chapter 5. We've just gotten done looking at Acts chapter 5, and we went through Ananias and Sapphira. We went through just incredible things happening where literally the apostles, Peter would walk by, and in his shadow, people would be healed. We also saw that they went through persecution, and they were brought before the council, that same religious council that put Jesus to death in Acts chapter 5. And they were being held, questioned for what they were doing because of the incredible miracles that they were seeing happen. And God used an unlikely man named Gamaliel, who was a Pharisee, to come and to speak on behalf of the apostles. And basically he said, listen, if you will just let this alone, if it's of God, you're fighting God. If it's of God, it's going to continue. If it's not of God, it will stop. And so Gamaliel stood up in front of this council and said, listen, don't do anything to them. Let them continue in the direction that they were going. Gamaliel, a Pharisee, an unlikely man that God used. So they were beaten and they were sent away with this concept of don't tell anybody else. You are done. Don't tell another soul what God is doing in your life. Do you think that worked? That did not work at all. In fact, the gospel spread. And I love this. Even in India, where we were at, one of the things that the pastors told us is as the government really tightens down on us, the church spreads even faster. As the government comes in, and there's things in India happening right now because they have a very Hindu-focused government. In fact, their prime minister is Hindu, radical Hinduism. They are literally going into churches and breaking the church, trashing it, starting it on fire. And it is not stopping the church. If anything, the church is growing like wildfire. The more persecution they face. And it's interesting, that's what we see happening here, that the gospel began to just explode throughout the land. One of the reoccurring messages that we see in the book of Acts is that the church is made up of individuals. So if you want to know the personality and what the church is, you look at the individuals of that church. See, First Assembly is not a building. It's not a brand. First Assembly is you and me. It's you and me getting a hold of this mission of going and spreading the gospel and discipling people. It's us getting a hold of the right DNA. A church's corporate spiritual DNA is made up of the individual members' DNA of that church. If the church is alive and full of life, it means its people are alive and full of life. If a church is dead, it means its people are dead. If a church is experiencing freedom, it means that the people are experiencing freedom. We can't be something that we aren't. There are things that God calls each one of us to do. And in fact, when we talk about individuals, what I want to encourage us in this series is, God, where do you want me to get involved? God, where do I need to put skin in the game? Where can I give of myself? Where can I serve? Where can I find myself, my place to fit? In a church body, every one of us needs to play a role in moving the mission forward. There's things that God calls us and gives us a gifting to do to serve the greater body and will help us to become the church that God has designed us to be when we get skin in the game. You see, the church was never called to be a spectator sport. We're not called to sit on the sidelines and watch things happen. We're called to get some skin in the game. We're called to say, God, I'm ready to give of myself so that I can see others touched. The church simply will not accomplish its mission without people serving and finding their place in ministry. In America today, there's a saying that 20% of people do 80% of the work in the church. And I want to flip that upside down here at First Assembly. I want to say 80% of the people, or even more, are involved and plugged in and finding a place to serve. If you feel disconnected today and you're not serving, that's why. Paula has a place for you in the nursery. But I hear people say, well, I feel disconnected. And my first question to them is, where are you serving? Where are you plugged in? What are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing for God? At First Assembly, we need to switch that around. I'm encouraging this fall that every person find a place to serve. Every person finds a place to use their giftings. Every person finds a place. In fact, we have a saying around here that we want to get down inside deep of every one of us. As we attend a service, we serve a service, and we go to a life group. That's what we do here at First Assembly. We serve a service, we attend a service, and we find a life group to do life together. Listen, you are chosen to serve. God has chosen you and I to serve. It's an incredible opportunity. God could have done it without us. God could have said, listen, I don't need them. But instead, he said, I want to partner with my people. I want to partner with my creation. I want to partner with them, and I want to do something incredible. You are chosen to serve. Every person has a role to play. And I want to tell you something. The enemy does everything he can to stop you from serving. He fills your schedule up. He sits on your shoulder and he says, well, you could never do that. You don't have enough talent to do that. Well, what if you step out and what if you fail? Why do you think the enemy fights us so hard from serving? Well, I just don't have time for it. Because there's an incredible blessing that comes from serving. And if you are not serving and if you're not finding a place to fit, sorry, you won't grow. You won't be connected. In fact, you can go to 25 different churches in the city and you'll never be connected until you're ready to serve. Every person has a role to play. That's what we're looking at. I want to encourage you. It's time to get off the sidelines and find your place in ministry. That is what our growth tracks are all about. We're starting a new thing called growth tracks. And in growth track, we're going to help you to know the mission of the church. We're going to help you to know where we're headed as a church. We're going to help you to know your spiritual giftings, how God designed you and created you. We're going to help you to know what your passion is. We're going to help you to know where you fit as a person. Listen, I don't want to just assign people to roles because we have need. I want to find a place that's your sweet spot. I want to find a place that when you serve, it wakes you up in the morning to get here and go, man, I can't wait to serve. I can't wait to touch people's lives. That passion about the mission. So many times in the church world, what we've done is we said, well, we have a great need. Boy, that sixth grade Sunday school teacher, those sixth grade boys, they need a teacher. We're desperate. Have you ever heard that word? We're desperate. We need somebody to take that spot. And what we do then is we grab somebody and we say, oh, great, you want to be the sixth grade boys Sunday school teacher? Great, we're going to throw you in the room, lock you up, throw away the key, and hopefully we'll see you in about 4 years. Hopefully you survived, right? Well, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to find a place. We want you to be passionate. If you're passionate about those sixth grade boys, we want you to be plugged in right there. If you're passionate about serving and that really just gets your heart on fire, that's what we want, to be able to find your passion and help you. The whole month of August, on Wednesday nights in this room, we're going to be going through our growth track. And I want to encourage you to be here for it. Find out what God is doing. Get plugged in. You are not going to have an excuse anymore. You might go, well, I just don't know what the mission of the church is. Get here and find out. All right? That's where we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking. Our mission is so simple. It's to reach the lost and disciple people. And everything we do goes around that. So be here for that. The second week of August, we kick that off. In Acts 6, Luke deals again with the importance of everyone finding their place to serve in the church. The church was continuing to grow. In fact, they were seeing God do incredible things in this early church. Two groups of people were having issues with each other. Man, that's church. Whenever you get people together, I guarantee you we're going to have some issues. You can't even get two people together without having some issues, right? So the church, of course, is going to have some issues. And it's not that the church has issues, it's how we work through them. And if we work through them biblically and we work through them with a heart to see God work and do incredible things, you get to see an incredible, the way it plays out. Two groups of people were having issues with each other, primarily stemming from the fact that one group felt like their widows were being overlooked by the other group and not receiving the food they needed. You see, there are so many needs in a church. There are so many needs when we come together that your pastors cannot do it alone. We will never be able to meet the needs with 20% of the people. The needs are too great. We've got to have everybody on board helping us. Everybody. It wasn't just the pastor's job to take care of the needs. It was a great time in the church for people to step up and meet the need by serving. They needed people who were willing to carry that load and take care of the needs of the church. The people who made up the church were given the task of serving. Listen, Jesus set it up this way. He set it up this way that his people would be his hands and feet. His people would be the ones that would take the gospel. If we just sit in our chairs, the gospel never gets taken. The gospel never gets taken because we are his hands and feet. And it can look a lot of different ways and a lot of different things that God can use us to do. But the people who made up the church were given the task of serving to assist the pastors and the leaders in meeting the needs of the people. Jesus designed the church to be a place where everyone found their place to serve. Listen, I'm not so concerned about you pointing out the need as I am that if you see a need, go meet it. And you're going to hear it from me. If you come up and you go, Pastor, man, there's this great need in our church, I'm going to say, good, why don't you meet it? Go after it. We're behind you. Let's do this. Let's go after it. Don't just come and say, well, there's this great need, and that's all I'm going to do. Hopefully it gets met. Find a place. We pray that you, if you see a need, that's part of this deal. If you see a need, go meet it. Listen, the people in the early church didn't just go to church. They were the church. There's a difference. If people didn't serve, the church wasn't successful at accomplishing the mission that Jesus gave the church. I want to read Acts 6, 1 through 7 together. My lips are just sticking together. They're so dry. I'm sorry. It must be India. All right, moving on. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, who will be appointed to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Then these they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. What you see is you see the word deacon come out of this set of scripture. Do you know what a deacon, when we vote on deacons here in our church, biblically, do you know what a deacon is? If you go back and you look at the Greek, it literally means somebody that prepares the table, somebody that serves the food. Somebody that goes and does the work of the church to partner with the pastors and the leadership. That's what a deacon means. Somebody who's willing to serve. So the problem the early church was facing was there was this great need. Scripture tells us that Christians, probably local Jews who'd been converted, and the Greek-speaking Christians, probably Jews from all of the lands who'd been converted at Pentecost. The Greek-speaking Christians complained that their widows were being unfairly treated. This favoritism was probably not intentional, but was more likely caused by a language barrier. How was this issue going to be solved? By people serving. It wasn't going to be just solved by the pastors or by people sitting around talking about the problem. It was going to be solved by people stepping up to the plate and putting skin in the game. And I'm so thankful for so many people here at First Assembly who are willing to step up to the plate and who serve and who have such a heart for service. This problem required people who were currently serving, sitting on the sidelines, to step up. The church needed people to get off the sidelines and serve. It's the same today. We were never called to sit on the sidelines and watch things go by. We were called to get in the game. We weren't called to be armchair quarterbacks. We're called to be the quarterbacks. We're called to get in the game and find a place to serve. Many needs are solved by people who will serve. I want you to know people is the greatest resource this church has. It's not the building. It's not the beautiful place where we come to worship. In fact, we could do church without all that stuff. When we were in India, we ministered to over 3,000 people in 3 days. And these people that we ministered to, they literally would come into rooms with no air conditioning. They'd literally come in, 300-400 people, and they would sit for 4 hours just to hear the gospel. And what I thought to myself is, Lord, people are the greatest resource that our churches have. They planted 52 churches in 45 days. And it was people who stood up to the plate and became pastors of these churches. You can do church without the buildings and the lights and the sound and all of that stuff, but you can't do it without people. So if we don't have people plugged in, we're not a church until we're all serving and we find a place to serve. We can come here and sit in the pews and be all comfortable, but that doesn't make a church. A church is people who are serving and moving forward and getting off the sidelines. You are chosen to serve. Every person in this room has been chosen to serve. Look at the person next to you and say, I am chosen to serve. That was quiet. Say it again. I'm chosen to serve. Good. Thank you for all that just signed up for something. I'm just kidding. Let's step up and find our place to serve. I want to share with you 4 points very quickly. Who meets the needs in the church is point number one. You and I, we meet the needs. Luke very clearly lays out the plan for meeting the needs of people in the church and gives us a structure for how it's to be done. You can see it in Acts 6, 2 through 4. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. As the church increased, so did its needs. And here's the deal. A pastor can either spend all of his time meeting the needs or in the word and praying. And I believe that a pastor's job, first and foremost, is to be in the word, to be praying, because the word and prayer is what's so important. And I think in the church world, we've gotten to this point where we spend so much time meeting the needs that it takes away from our time before the Lord with word and being in the word and being in prayer. That's why we need you to step up. Because when you come here on a Sunday morning, you're hoping to be filled up with God's word. You're hoping that we've been praying and spending time before God. Does that make sense? There's a reason why the scripture lays this out. The 12 disciples, the pastoral leadership of the church, gathered together to try to solve the need that had arisen. They realized they needed people to partner with them to accomplish everything that needed to be done. The only way the need was going to be met is if the people of the church were willing to serve. And I think as we look at that, we say, listen, every person is important. Every position in the church is important. Everything that everyone does meets the needs of people. The apostles needed to focus on preaching, so they chose others to administer the food program. And I love this in the church. The janitor is no less important than the pastor. Everybody plays a role. The teachers that are working with our children are no less important than the people up on the stage leading worship. Everybody plays a role, and every one of us get to touch the lives of people. And I think that has to be our focus. What is the focus? Why do we want to serve? We meet the needs, but we want to serve because we want to touch people's lives. What if it's the person that maybe you're in the nursery and you're checking somebody in, and this is the very first Sunday that they came, and their family had been praying for them to be saved, and this was their Sunday to be saved. And because you were able to take their kids and love and minister to them, they get to hear the gospel clearly. And their life is changed. When you look at that, this is the kind of things that we're talking about. It's vital that we remember that our place is to serve and find a place. Also the importance that the disciples put on ministry and prayer and the power of the word. Like I said, the church can survive without a great deal of things. It can survive under intense persecution or without buildings or even without the modern comforts that we have. The one thing a church simply cannot afford to do without is people who are willing to serve. If we don't have that, we have nothing. We won't be able to move forward. It's simple as that. Point number two, finding your place to serve. When they went and they found Stephen, they plugged this man into a perfect fit for him. They found a place to serve. It's important that every person finds their fit and finds a place to serve that engages their giftings and stokes their passion for serving God. That's why we feel like it's so important to help you to identify your spiritual gifts and your strengths. It's going to open your eyes to many things. When you look at your spiritual giftings and your strengths, all of a sudden you realize why you are the way you are. It helps you to be enlightened to see God speak to you and go, man, this is who I am. It's so cool to be able to see how God created you to work. Stephen was chosen by the disciples because of the ministry opportunity to help administer the food, and it fit his giftings and passions perfectly, I have to believe. In fact, he was the first one mentioned, and I believe that his giftings were so matched up to this, it was incredible. And like I said, we want to help you. We want to help you to identify your giftings. What is our motivation for serving? Our motivation has to be, I want to be a part of this mission where life change happens. I want to be a part. Everything I do, every moment I invest in the kingdom pays off dividends for somebody down the road. I think of Miss Lillian, who was 85 years old when I met Miss Lillian. She was a Sunday school teacher in Stockton, California, who had had generations of second grade boys. Generations. She had served over 45 years as the Sunday school teacher for that class. She had paid to go to conferences. She was passionate. And literally, I could talk to four generations of families who said, I had Miss Lillian as my second grade Sunday school teacher. She changed my life. Literally, generation. We may not even realize how we're changing people's lives by just showing up. No matter what position you're playing in the church, you are ministering to the needs of people, and you are showing Jesus. When you love somebody and you smile at them and you serve them, you're showing Jesus. And I think that's why it's so powerful when we get involved and we get plugged in, because it's an opportunity to show other people Jesus. Everything that we do, you may not view your position here at the church. You might think it's insignificant. But every moment that you invest in the kingdom matters, and it changes lives. Point number three, leadership requirements. Some of us think, well, I could never be a leader. In fact, some people think that's a bad word. Well, I'm not a leader. Don't ask me to be a leader. I can't lead. Look at your neighbor and tell them right now, I'm a leader. Oh, that was quiet. Believe it. I'm a leader. We let fear hold us back. And just by that, you're quiet. I think I'm a leader. I might be a leader. Could I lead, really? Every one of us can be a leader. When you look at the requirements, what were the requirements was it for it to be a leader? And I want you to know, I view everyone as a leader in the church. When you step up, you're a leader. You're leading people. And that might scare you, but don't let it, because what are the requirements to lead? Acts 6:5 tells us. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and lists the rest of the names. The requirements to be a leader in the church are simple. Being full of the Holy Spirit, being full of faith, and asking the Lord for wisdom. We sometimes look at our giftings and go, well, I could never lead. I couldn't do what they're asking. Yes, you can. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Be full of faith. Be full. Meet these requirements. It is not hard. You position yourself for God to be able to use you. Those are the leadership requirements that we find in Scripture. It's not so much about what you can do, but what God can do through you. And I think some of the greatest leaders are leaders that recognize, I can't do this on my own. If you're afraid to step into a position, that's good, because that means you're going to rely upon God. If you're afraid, then do it afraid. Well, I'm afraid to do that. What if I fail? What if you fail? We're here to pick you up and help you. What if you fail? Please do fail. Because it shows you that we can pick up and we can fix anything. Let's move forward. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of wisdom. Those are the requirements. And when you start looking at that and you start changing your perspective, because we think being a leader, well, I have to have this quality in line. I have to be able to do this. I have to be really good at that. None of that's a requirement for leadership. God is able to use our gifts. But the requirement for leadership is that you're full of the Holy Spirit, that you hear from God. Just in the monitor. Take a look in the mirror. If you see yourself as not able, then say, God, change my perspective. Help me to be able to see what you see about me. And I love this because God sees us how we can be, not how we are. That's why God can say, listen, I can use you if you're willing and you're able. Even Gideon fell into that. Gideon, who was hiding behind a wine press when God showed up and said, listen, I need you to serve. Gideon said, how can I? I'm the least of these. And God spoke back to him and he said, because I will go with you. Mighty warrior. I love how God speaks that over our lives, full of the Spirit, listening to God. Man, it's so power. So what does that mean? What does full of faith mean? The spiritual qualification, full of faith, applies to those who have so fully given themselves to following Christ that God's saving, sanctifying, and edifying grace is clearly and continuously manifested in their lives. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit means someone who is empowered by the Holy Spirit and walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is a daily experience of being filled with His power, letting the Lord fill your cup every day. Wisdom. How do you get wisdom? Solomon gave us a great example. Ask for it. When Solomon could have asked for anything, what he said is, God, give me more wisdom. I need your wisdom. And I love this scripture in Proverbs 2, 6 through 8. It tells us, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. You are qualified because God makes you qualified. You can be a leader because God will, if you allow him to be that conduit, he will lead through your life. Point number four, and as we wrap up, we see the importance of spiritual leadership. The disciples appointed seven people to help with the administration of feeding the poor. Spiritual leadership, people moving in a spiritual process. The whole process shows us how important the preaching of God's word is, but also how important administration is in the church. And being able to meet the needs of people on so many levels. We found that scripture, the qualifications of the requirements. Even people who serve in administrative roles in the church. You might go, well, all I do is take the role. Then be full of the Holy Spirit. Be full of wisdom. Be full, no matter where you're at in the church, no matter what job you're doing. Same requirement, spiritual leadership. The people were happy with the decision. They saw this come together and they were so happy with how the disciples solved the problem. And I love this because the way the disciples, that they solved this problem, it brought unity back to the church. All of a sudden, the needs were being met again. Every person in the church took personal responsibility to serve and lead. It would have never happened if people wouldn't have stepped up and said, yeah, I'll serve. Yes, I will lead. Yes, I will find a place. They would have literally been stuck if people, those seven. Could you imagine if Stephen would have said, you know, my calendar's really busy this month. I don't think I can serve. Better go find somebody else. I mean, imagine we'd be reading a completely different story today. They made a way. They said, yes, we will serve. We will do what you're asking us to do. Personal responsibility. The church has the same need for leaders today. Leaders who are filled with faith, filled with the Holy Spirit, and have wisdom. Without people who are willing to step up and serve the church, we will not fulfill the mission. The mission is to reach people who are lost and to disciple them. There's a great deal of work to be done. There's a lot for you and I to do, but God will help us. Let's reach our city for Jesus as we serve together. And I love this. God has chosen each one of us to lead. He's equipped us with every tool and gift that we need to be successful. And as we get to the very end of this passage of Scripture, we see the results of what happens when everybody finds their place to serve on a team. when everybody serves and everybody says, listen, I will find my place. And I love this. Acts 6:7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. My question is this. We pray for a harvest, but if we aren't ready to receive a harvest, why would God send us one? These people positioned themselves and got ready for a harvest. They said, God, I will do what you're asking me to do individually. I'll step in. I'll find a place to serve. They got ready for a harvest, and what did God do? He sent them a harvest. How many of you would like to see a harvest in our city? How many of you would like to see people's lives touched and changed and transformed? Can we give God a hand for that across this place? A harvest means that addictions are broken. A harvest means that lives are put back together again. I was amazed to hear Wayne Tesh. How many of you enjoyed Wayne last week? I don't know if he told you this, but he sent me a stat that said behind Greene County, St. Charles County has the second highest rate of child abuse in the state of Missouri. We got to pray that that changes. When revival fires start to blow across the land, things change. And it only happens when we all find our spot on the walls. I want to pray. Can we pray across this room? Lord, right now, I just pray. God, I pray that you would change lives. I pray, God, that you would so encourage us to find a place to lead, to find a place to serve. Lord, I pray that no longer would our church have issues even finding ushers. But God, we have so many people that are willing to serve. Lord Jesus, people stepping up to find a place. Lord, stepping up to use their giftings for you, God. Lord, move in this place. Move in this place. God, move upon our hearts that we would find a place to serve. Lord, that nothing would stop us from that blessing that you want to bring. Lord, that as you bring the harvest, that we'd be ready to receive them. If you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know quite what that means. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. The wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift, to receive it, all we have to do, Pastor Jason was talking about it in 1997 when he stood up and he said, I need Jesus. And he stood up and he took that moment and he gave his life to the Lord. And at that moment, the Lord came in and changed him. That opportunity is for some of you in this room today. If you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus fully and completely. The Bible says all we have to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Believing would be, yes, I need it. Confessing would be the prayer that we're going to pray in just a moment. But if you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus, lift your hand up right now. Lift your hand up right now if that's you. We're not going to embarrass you, but we want to pray. Thank you, young man. Anyone else? From the back to the front, if you're here, you need to give your life to Jesus. Lift your hand up right now. Thank you. Anyone else? We're going to pray a prayer together. Can we, church? Let's join our brothers and sisters today that are giving their lives to the Lord. Let's pray this. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Today I give you my life. Even the broken pieces, I hand over to you. Take control, Jesus. Lord, today I say, you drive and I'll ride. My life is yours. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we give God a hand? Isn't he so good?